Dandeham Sri Guru.
The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 31 and 32, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on May 7, 1997, in Mumbai.
निगृहाभुजगादिपां
भूताप्यापयाथवायं
प्रकृतिस्थितां.
The inhabitants of Vrindavan
were perplexed by great difficulties, because a certain portion of the Jamuna was poisoned by the chief of reptiles, Kalia. The Lord chastised the snake king within the water and drove him away. And after coming out of the river, he caused the cows to drink the water and proved that the water was again in its natural state.
Ayajayad gosavena gaud padajan vijotamai vithasya chaurubharasya chakirshan sad yayam vibhu.
The Supreme Lord Krishna desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Maharaj Nanda to worship the cows, and also he wanted to give a lesson to Indra, the King of Heaven. Thus he advised his father to perform worship of Gaud, or the pasturing land in the cows, with the help of learned Brahmins. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Since he is the teacher of everyone, the Lord also taught his father, Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was a well-to-do landholder and owner of many cows, and as was the custom, he used to perform yearly worship of Indra, the King of Heaven, with great opulence. This worship of demigods by the general populace is also advised in Vedic literature, just so people can accept the superior power of the Lord. The demigods are servants of the Lord, deputed to look after the management of various activities of universal affairs. Therefore, it is advised in the Vedic scriptures that one should perform yajnas to appease the demigods. But one who is devoted to the Supreme Lord has no need to appease the demigods. Worship of the demigods by common people is an arrangement for acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, but it is not necessary. Such appeasement is generally recommended for material gains only. As we have already discussed in the second canto of this literature, one who admits the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to worship the secondary demigods. Sometimes being worshipped and adored by less intelligent living beings, the demigods become puffed up with power and forget the supremacy of the Lord. This happened when Lord Krishna was present in the universe, and thus the Lord wanted to give a lesson to the King of Heaven, Indra. He therefore asked Maharaj Nanda to stop the sacrifice to Indra and to use the money properly by performing a ceremony worshipping the cows and the pasturing ground on the hill of Govardhan. By this act, Lord Krishna taught human society, as he has instructed in the Bhagavad Gita also, that one should worship the Supreme Lord by all acts and by all their results. That will bring about the desired success. The Vaishyas are specifically advised to give protection to the cows and their pasturing ground or agricultural land instead of squandering their hard-earned money. That will satisfy the Lord. The perfection of one's occupational duty, whether in the sphere of duty to oneself, one's community, or one's nation, is judged by the degree to which the Lord is satisfied.
Uddhava has just met with the great saint Vidura. In the place Prabhas Kshetra, which is not far from Dwarka, Krishna performed his final pastimes. But just before doing so, he instructed Uddhava in the transcendental science of Krishna consciousness. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, these important instructions are described. It is often called the Uddhava Gita. After explaining the highest truths to Uddhava, he instructed Uddhava to go to Badrik Ashram and there to associate with Sri Nara Narayan Rishi. Uddhava was a great devotee of Krishna from his very earliest childhood. He knew nothing but Krishna. He was immersed in remembrance of Krishna, worship and service to Krishna, and was dearest friend of Krishna. When Krishna left this world, Uddhava was immersed in the ecstasies of loving separation from Krishna. Here, meeting with Vidura, he is consoling his own heart by narrating the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Because Krishna is absolute, there is no difference between Krishna and the sound vibration of his name and his glories. We can live with Krishna unceasingly by always chanting his beautiful teachings, his names and his pastimes. And this is being proven here. Although Uddhava was in such a state where he really had no reason to live, a Vaishnava, his only purpose of life is to serve Krishna. Death is better than no service. A devotee cannot tolerate living without service. Service to Krishna is his life, is his soul, is his everything. Materialistic people make so many arrangements to somehow or other prolong the life of this decaying body just for the purpose of some enjoyment. And even if they're miserable, even if they're suffering in old age, they will put all kinds of artificial mechanisms on their body to somehow or other keep their life going. They're not enjoying, but they're afraid of death. They're so much afraid of what is beyond the existence of this temporary body. They do not know. Therefore, somehow or other, people go on living. But a devotee does not want to go on living. A devotee has only one attachment, and that is service to the Lord and service to the Lord's devotees. And without that, there's no life. The whole world is just a dreary void without service to Krishna. So Uddhava was such a devotee. He lived, he breathed for Krishna only. And he was in the personal association of Krishna for so many years. After Krishna left Vrindavan, when he was only about 12 and a half years old, he went to Mathura, and there he was with Uddhava. And all the way through the Mathura Leela and the Dwarka Leela, over 112 years, Uddhava was the fast, intimate friend of Krishna, practically never leaving his side. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there was a devotee who wanted to understand who is the best of all Vaishnavas. And when he went to Dwarka, he met with the king, Ugrasena. And Ugrasena said, "I am not a very dear servant of Krishna. If you want to know the dearest servant, it is Uddhava. He is with him practically 24 hours a day, night and day. The most intimate thoughts in Krishna's heart, he reveals only to Uddhava here in the city of Dwarka." Although Uddhava was the dear friend of Krishna, his life and soul was only for the satisfaction of Krishna. He was the ideal of devotee. And now Krishna had left him. He disappeared from this world at Prabhaskshetra. And Uddhava really had no reason to live. There was nothing in this world that had any appeal or charm to him without Krishna. So he was traveling. Why was he traveling? Because it was Krishna's order. Uddhava could have given his life up at Prabhaskshetra with the rest of the Yadus, but Krishna personally instructed him to continue surviving in this world to carry out his order. So as a great austerity, Uddhava accepted the order of Krishna. And this is very important to understand, because actual service is not just to enjoy the association of the object of our service, but to carry out the instruction of the object of our service. The Yadu dynasty, they had it very easy. They gave up their life before Krishna. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a story of Murari Gupta, where once he was thinking that Krishna, the way he departs from this world, is so painful for his devotees. I do not want to see Lord Chaitanya disappear from this world. Look what Ramchandra did. Before he left this world, he banished his eternal consort, Sita, to the forest of Valmiki Muni's ashram. And Krishna caused a fratricidal war amongst all the Yadus. I do not want to see Lord Chaitanya leave. I must leave before him. So with this in mind, Murari Gupta got a very sharp knife, which is especially used to cut conch shells. And he decided, tonight I will take my own life. Lord Gauranga is the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows your every thought. He knows your motivation in whatever you do. We can very expertly delude others by appearing one way and thinking another. But all of our spiritual advancement is dependent on how Krishna perceives our service. And he doesn't see it from the outside in, but he sees it from the inside out. From within your heart, he is seeing your desire, your motivation, the purpose you're trying to fulfill through whatever you do. So Lord Chaitanya immediately went to the house of Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "My Lord, I am your servant. I am surrendered unto you. How can I serve you?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Do you really mean that, that you are surrendered to me and you want to serve me?" He said, "Yes." Lord Chaitanya said, "Do you really mean that?" He said, "Yes." Then Lord Chaitanya whispered in his ear, "Then bring me that knife." And Murari Gupta got very angry. He said, "This is all nonsense. Who told you I had a knife? I don't have a knife. Where did you hear this?" And then Lord Chaitanya walked right into the house. He knew exactly where the knife was hidden. And he took it. And he said to Murari Gupta, "Why do you want to do this to me? I am living in this world only to reciprocate love with devotees like you. Why do you want to leave me and cause me so much pain? You must promise me you will never think like this again." And then he placed his lotus feet on Murari Gupta's head. And Murari Gupta became very happy. Because actually, we have no life without Krishna. But our real life is serving the instruction of Krishna. So this was the situation of Uddhava also. He had no desire to remain in this world, but it was Krishna's instruction that I have a mission for you to fulfill in this world. As he was traveling, his heart was broken into millions of pieces in separation from Krishna. But in the presence of Vidura, who was a great devotee himself, he was inspired to narrate the wonderful story of Krishna's glories. And as he began to remember Krishna, he began to experience the presence of Krishna in the same way as when he was personally in the presence of Krishna's physical form. Vidura was a devotee, a great devotee, an associate of Krishna himself, who was very eager to hear about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the perfect atmosphere where Krishna manifests. When there is an audience of persons who are sincerely eager to hear, that will naturally inspire the speaker to speak. And in that combination of an eager audience and an inspired speaker, Krishna manifests himself through the sound vibration and in this way gives full satisfaction to everyone involved. Shukadev Goswami often spoke this message to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days to live. And he made a vow not to sleep and not to eat or even drink a drop of water in those 7 days. He was so eager to hear Krishna's glories. He wanted nothing else, but he wanted to hear it from a great devotee of the Lord. So because of Maharaj Parikshit's intense desire to hear, Shukadeva Goswami was so enthusiastic to speak. He spoke for 7 days continuously. And the audience of that particular assembly was so rapt in attention that Srila Prabhupada explains, if someone were to drop a pin on the ground, it would have caused a tremendous tumultuous disturbance. There was so much quiet. So due to Parikshit's desperate desire to hear, Sukadeva Goswami was so eager to speak. And through the process of this wonderful phenomena, Krishna manifested himself as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna himself. It is the literary incarnation of Krishna. So this eagerness to hear and this eagerness to speak and glorify Krishna is actually the transcendental process by which we can always be with Krishna. As Uddhava was speaking to Vidura, he was going on and on explaining the various wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And he was living with Krishna once again through transcendental sound, Shabda Brahma. Shabda Brahma means the sound vibration of Brahma is none different than Brahma. And in this particular verses that we are reading today, he is explaining Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Krishna went with his friends, the gopas, herding their cows, and they came to a particular lake just on the bank of Jamuna, and they began to drink the water as they would drink every day. And at that very moment, all the cows and all the gopas, they immediately left their bodies. They dropped dead. So for Krishna, there is no difficulty. He is the creator of life. He simply glanced upon them and brought them all back to life. But then he was thinking that there is a serpent who is very envious, and I must teach him a good lesson. And I must also protect the Brijabasis from such inconvenience ever happening again. Krishna is always the protector of his devotees. But most of all, Krishna wanted to engage in the wonderful pastime dancing on the heads of these serpents. So he jumped in the water and made very big splash. And Kaliya came out, and with his 100 hoods, he began to attack Krishna. He was trying to bite Krishna. First thing he did was he made a coil around Krishna. And for many, many hours, Krishna was trapped in that coil. And Krishna attracted the residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda and Yashoda, to come to that place. And when they saw their little child, Gopal, in the clutches of the coils of this terrible black snake, they were aggrieved at heart. They were fainting. Some of them wanted to jump in the water and take their lives. They couldn't tolerate seeing Krishna in that situation. This is the natural quality of the residents of Vrindavan. And this is why they are so dear to Krishna. Because their life is only for Krishna's pleasure. They cannot tolerate seeing Krishna's inconvenience. They are willing to go into the jaws of that serpent themselves within a second rather than see Krishna have to suffer. The gopis are willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity if it relieves Krishna of the pain of his headache, even for 1 second. This is the nature of spiritual love. Spiritual love is selfless. The love of this world is selfish and egoistic. But Balaram stopped the residents of Vrindavan from taking their lives, because although they were under the Yogamaya potency of thinking Krishna to be an ordinary child, Balaram was fully aware of his supreme powers. But Krishna, seeing that the residents of Vrindavan were on the verge of death, he slipped out of the coils and jumped upon the head of Kaliya and began to dance. And although his lotus feet are so soft that the gopis are thinking that when Krishna's lotus feet touch the soft pebbles in the ground of Vrindavan, it may cause pain to them because they are so soft. When the gopis would touch the feet of Krishna, they would think that their own hands were so hard compared to Krishna's soft feet, and they were always afraid. They would meditate throughout the day of the pain that Krishna may feel in his feet by stepping on a hard piece of grass. That is how soft his feet were to the devotees. But to Kaliya, as he was dancing so gracefully, Vrindavan Nathabara, he is the best dancer in all of Vrindavan. And to everyone it appeared that his dancing, his feet were so softly floating on the heads of Kaliya. But to Kaliya, every time his foot touched, it was like a thunderbolt crashing against him. And Kaliya's each hood was individually, one by one, being crushed. He was crushing the hoods of Kaliya until all fire started pouring out of his mouth. And then he ran out of fire, and all poison started pouring out of his mouth. And after all the poisons were gone, blood was pouring out of his mouth. And then there was practically nothing left to be poured out of his mouth. Then Krishna would start dancing on the next hood, until he danced on each of Kaliya's hoods, and Kaliya was on the verge of death. He did not know what to do or how to do it. And it was the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, who were very great devotees. They were always praying for Kaliya to become a Vaishnava. This is the greatness of having a devoted wife. Kaliya was this asura, he was a demon. But his wives were very good devotees. And they used to pray. They were actually praying when Krishna was dancing on his head. Kill him, kill him. Let him die. He's such an offensive rascal. But then when they saw that he actually became helpless, and he actually became quite humble, then they came out and said, Krishna, this is very good. Now he's completely humble. He has no more power, no more opulence, no more anything. How fortunate our husband is that your lotus feet, great sages and saints, performed tapasyas for many, many lifetimes to get a glimpse of your lotus feet. And even demigods like Brahma and Shiva can rarely get even a touch from your lotus feet. It is so difficult to achieve. It is the ultimate perfection of life. But my husband, who is an envious serpent, you are dancing with your lotus feet upon his head. And because your lotus feet are all pure, you have completely purified him. Now all of his envy, all the poison in his heart has been removed. Now he's just in a situation to become a devotee. Krishna says, Yasya hamana grinnami harishyeta dhanamshanai. When I want to show special favor to someone, sometimes I take everything away. Kaliya's greatest obstacle was his false pride, because he was so powerful. He was the king of serpents. And anyone who in any way threatened his superior position, he became so envious, he wanted that person to die. His lake, the Kaliya lake, was his abode. And he was so attached to this abode that anyone who touched it, he filled it with so much poison, they would die. Something like immigration. Prabhupada used to always tell stories about immigrations, because he traveled so much and he'd come to a country and they'd say, this is our country. What do you want? How long will you stay? Why have you come? Who are you? Let me see your passport. And when Prabhupada was in the Western world, sometimes in his morning walks, he'd go by a house and people would have dogs. Because the dog is thinking, this is my house. What are you doing here? Why have you come? Who are you? What do you want? So Prabhupada said immigration are just human form of dogs, just barking and barking. Why have you come? This is my land. So Kaliya was like this. This is my lake. Anyone who tries to in any way enjoy, I can enjoy, but if you try to enjoy, you will die. If any bird was just flying overhead and looked upon Kaliya's lake, the poison fumes would immediately cause him to die. So this is materialistic life. We become so proud and so attached to our powers, our opulences, and our property. But Krishna, he took everything away from Kaliya. He lost all his strength. Kaliya was naturally like every husband. He'd like to show off to his wife, just see, I am the king, I am undefeatable, I am the best. This is the nature, not only of human beings, but even lower species, to show off to your mate. In human society, it may be your girlfriend or your wife, an animal society mate, but everyone likes to show off to the opposite sex, to show that, see how great I am, see what kind of master you have. So Kaliya was like that, and he was completely humiliated and embarrassed. And before all the other snakes, he was defeated. Before his wives, he was defeated. Before everyone, he was in a helpless condition. So the Nagapatnis were saying, this is very good. By your mercy, you have taken away all his false pride and prestige. Now he's fit to become your devotee. Trinadapi sunichena. Devotee means humility. Devotee means without pride. So Kaliya, he heard the wives speaking and praying to Krishna. And then he just began to repeat their prayers because he didn't know how to pray. But he understood his wives were great devotees, so he began to repeat the prayers. Yes, what they say is true. I was proud and now I am finished, and now your lotus feet, which are the treasures of all the great souls, are on my head. So please accept me as your servant. So Krishna gave devotional service to Kaliya. And Kaliya became a great devotee. But Krishna told him he had to leave Vrindavan. And Prabhupada says he went to Fiji, where still he lives. That is why in the ISKCON temple in Fiji, Prabhupada installed the deities Krishna Kaliya. And according to the Puranas, it is said that Kali is such a good devotee that sometimes when Krishna wants a change from riding on Garuda, he calls Kaliya, and Kaliya becomes his carrier. So through this process we understand that Krishna's lotus feet, when they come upon our heads, they purify us by making all the poisons of our hearts come out. Similarly, when we start chanting Krishna's name, when we start serving Krishna's devotees, that means we are approaching Krishna's lotus feet. To serve Krishna means to put Krishna's lotus feet upon our heads. And you can be assured that when you do that, then all the poisons of your heart will start pouring out. All your envy and all your lust and all your pride and all your greed and all your anger and all your illusion, it all just starts pouring out. And when it does, sometimes it's a very ugly scene. But we just have to let it all come out and go on chanting Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Gradually, by Krishna's grace, we become purified. So Krishna curbed the false ego of Kaliya and made him a good devotee. And next, Uddhava is thinking of how Krishna curbed the ego of Indra. These two stories are stories of how Krishna does not tolerate ahankar or false ego. First, he cleansed the ego of a great demon, and now he's about to cleanse the ego of a great demigod. Indra is actually a devotee. We should never insult Indra, because he's a great devotee. But somehow or other, Krishna uses this particular devotee to show so many examples of how we should not be. So in this particular story, Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj making all nice arrangements for Indra Puja. And he asked, "What is this you are doing, Father?" Nanda Baba replied, "Indra Puja? Every year, since time immemorial, our family dynasty has been doing like this because we are a Vaishya community and our livelihood depends on growing of grains and taking nice care of cows, and the cows eat grass, and in order for there to be grass and grains, there must be rain, and Indra supplies rain. So we should not be ungrateful, we should worship Indra." And actually, this is true. We are subsisting by the grace of the Lord through his deputed representatives. Material nature is supplying all the necessities of life. If we do not reciprocate and show our gratitude, we are thieves. If we do not show our gratitude for that person giving us rain, we are thieves. If we use fire to cook or heat ourselves, and we do not offer our grateful services to the God of fire, we are thieves. We are breathing air. We cannot survive for a second without air. If we are not gratefully offering our service to Vayu, God of air, we are thieves. We are taking, 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 and giving nothing in return. Devarshibhutaptinanam pitranam. But Bhagavatam says, but all of the millions upon millions of demigods who are all empowered representatives of the Lord, we owe every single one of them our grateful services. And if we don't pay each of them, we are thieves. So it is a very difficult situation. But Bhagavad says, if you water the root of the tree, every branch, leaf, twig and flower of the tree is automatically nourished. Krishna explains in Gita that whatever the demigods have to give you, they are getting from me. So if you just worship me, then you fulfill your obligation to your relatives, to your forefathers, to all the devatas, to the kings and the politicians, and all of the great sages and rishis. Sarva dharma puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papi vyo moksha isham masach. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. It is sinful to not worship the demigods if you are taking favors from them. But if you surrender to Krishna, all the demigods are properly worshipped and served because they are all part and parcel of him. So Krishna wanted to establish exclusive worship of him. And he also wanted to curb the pride of Indra, because even devotees become puffed up somehow or other due to circumstances. Indra is a very good devotee. And what kind of a devotee is Indra? He performed 1,000 ashrameda yajnas. And each one of them, Vishnu would personally come and give him darshan. But somehow or other, because of his high position and his tremendous amount of material expertise, he has enormous wealth, he's very beautiful, has a beautiful wife, so many servants, he has the thunderbolt, which is so powerful, everyone fears it. Krishna saw that his devotee was becoming infatuated by the facilities he was giving him. Actually, everyone's powers are coming from Krishna. If we think they are our own, that is a great illusion. Indra's wealth, Indra's beauty, Indra's knowledge, Indra's fame, Indra's powers, they were all Krishna's energy. But somehow or other, when we have these things, we start to think they are mine. And when people glorify us, we start thinking that glorification is for me. In the heavenly planets, everyone is glorifying Indra. And so many times he falls in this trap. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, we read where he was sitting on the throne and he was being worshipped and everyone was singing his glories and his wife was beside him and he was thinking, how nice she hears all my glories. And then Brihaspati, his guru, comes in. And Indra just was so much enjoying hearing his own praises that he did not stand up to even welcome his guru. So Brihaspati left. He knew Indra's finished. And because of that, Indra lost everything. He had to run away from his own abode and hide. He lost everything. How many times do we have to learn the lessons? And here again, Indra, he's being worshipped by so many demigods and being worshipped by so many sages and so many materialistic people. Krishna said, he's my devotee. I cannot tolerate false pride in the heart of my devotee. It must be smashed. Sometimes we do something good. Sometimes we do one little thing that somehow or other it turns out good. And we want all the Vaishnava community to know what we have done so that they will all be speaking about our glories to us and behind our backs. We love to hear rumors of our glories. Nature of the false ego. You have done so well. And then different types of false egos. Some false egos will respond and say, yes, I have done so well. And you should learn from me how to do well. That's one type of false ego. Another false ego is, actually, I didn't do anything. It is all done by God. And in your heart, you're thinking that not only will he think I'm great, but he'll also think I'm humble. In this way, I get double the mileage on what I have done as far as being glorified. So the false ego is so difficult to control. But Krishna is in the heart, and he wanted to curb Indra's ego. And when Krishna wants to hurt your ego, sometimes it's quite painful. For Kali, it was quite painful. And for Indra, it was probably even more painful than Kali. So there he was, watching everything from the heavens. And little Gopal is telling Nanda Maharaj, forget Indra. Just worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. Because after all, the cows are being fed by the grass from Govardhan Hill. So let's just worship Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj said, all right, we will do after Indra Puja. Krishna said, no. Now, take everything meant for Indra Puja and use it to worship the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. And he told him exactly how to do it. First, we will circumambulate the Govardhan Hill. And everything in our village, we will just cook it all. Wonderful grains and spices and make beautiful mountains and offer bhoga to Govardhan Hill. So they had a wonderful Govardhan Puja celebration. And Govardhan, Giriraj, in Vrindavan, Govardhan is called upon as Giriraj, the king of mountains. When all of the offerings, mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga, all according to Krishna's instruction. It's an incredible offering. And everyone saw Krishna enter into Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan actually became a living person and ate everything. And Krishna, although he was Govardhan Hill, he was still little Gopal, bowing down before himself in the form of this hill. And after eating everything, he manifested everything back as prasad. And they circumambulated Govardhan Hill, keeping the cows in the front. And in this way, it was a wonderful, wonderful ceremony. And all the Brijabasis were so happy. Why were they happy? Because Krishna was happy. Devotee's happiness is Krishna's happiness. Everyone was happy except Indra. He was very upset. He was humiliated. All the people of the heavens were watching how this little boy was causing Nanda Maharaj to make an aparad to Indra. So he was burning with anger. He called the Samvartaka clouds. These are not clouds that come during the monsoons and flood Bombay. These are clouds that flood the whole lower section of the universe at the time of devastation. And he called these clouds and told them, destroy Vrindavan. So they came, and torrents and torrents and torrents of rain started to fall. And the people of Vrindavan, they were very much under distress. So they put the cows in front of them and they all approached Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. They said, Krishna, whatever we did was for you. And look, your cows are cold, they are shivering. Please protect them. And so are we, your devotees. So Krishna said, do not worry about this, Indra. And he went and he lifted the Govardhan Hill like a child lifts a mushroom. And he held it over his head with the littlest finger of his left hand. And he called all Brijabasis, come, bring your cows, bring your housewares, bring everything, and let us enjoy under Govardhan Hill. And Govardhan Hill was serving as an umbrella. Everyone was so happy. No one ever wanted to leave. They were not waiting for the rains to end. They forgot that there were even rains. Everyone was completely engrossed in seeing this beautiful form of Giridhari. Shishi Radha Giridhari Ki! Giridhari, little 7-year-old Krishna with his finger holding Govardhan Hill, big, big, big mountain. Today, if you go to Govardhan Hill, it is 21 kilometers to walk around it. But in the time of Krishna, it was far larger in size. It explains it was so high, so wide. So the gopis and the gopas, they were just seeing Krishna in this pose of Girivaradhari. It was so charming to their hearts that they forgot about eating, they forgot about sleeping, they forgot about anything except Krishna. They were completely absorbed in the perfection of yoga, meditation on Krishna. For 7 days and 7 nights, no one even considered eating, sleeping, drinking, anything. They were completely nourished just by the darshan of Krishna as Giridhari. And Indra, he was throwing big, big thunderbolts and he was throwing clouds and rains, torrents of rains. It explains it wasn't just drops of rain, like pillars, like massive pillars. Just billions of these pillars were just pouring down from the sky. And Govardhan Hill was being smashed by hail, torrents of rain, and thunderbolts and lightning. But it says that Govardhan Hill, even though being attacked in so many ways on the top side by Indra, because the tip of the little finger of the left hand of Krishna was touching it from underneath, the pleasure of that touch was so ecstatic that he didn't even notice all of the thunderbolts and rains and hails falling from the top. Param drisvani vartate. Krishna explains in Gita, apuryamanam achala pratishtam, that if you taste the ocean of pleasure of Krishna's mercy, then all the little rivers of pleasures and pains of this world become completely unnoticeable, irrelevant. So Govardhan Hill was in bliss, and all the Brijavasis were in bliss, and Krishna was in bliss, giving his devotees so much pleasure. For 7 days and seven nights, the Brijavasis didn't even blink their eyes. They were so immersed in seeing Krishna. And when Indra saw that he was completely humiliated, defeated in front of everyone, he understood that this Gopal, talkative young child, was none other than the Lord and Master of the universe. He from whom everything emanates. So Indra told the Samvartaka clouds to go back home. And the sun began to shine. And Krishna told the Brijavasis, now everything is safe, the sun is shining, return to your homes. And with great happiness, the Brijavasis all went to their homes, chanting the holy names of Krishna throughout. This was the talk of Vrindavan. The transcendental gossip of Vrindavan was always about Krishna's pastimes. Today, did you see how Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill? And they began to discuss amongst themselves, what kind of person is this Krishna? How he killed Putana when he was a little baby, how he killed Srinivarta when he was only 1 year old, how so many wonderful stories about wonderful Krishna. And this time he lifted the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights. So Indra came down on his elephant carrier, Airavata. Actually, it is explained that he was so fearful. He didn't know how to present himself before Krishna because of the offense he committed. So he approached Brihaspati, his guru. His guru said, you cannot approach Krishna directly after the aparad. You tried to kill him and all of his devotees. But if you go with the cow, then Krishna will be nice to you. In the same way, we are all very offensive. How many lifetimes have we offended Krishna by trying to exploit and manipulate his property for our own selfish purposes? Therefore, we cannot approach Krishna directly. We must approach through someone who is dear to Krishna. Tadvijnanartham sugurum eva abhivacchate. Therefore, there is need for guru and there is need for Vaishnavas. If they somehow or other appeal on our behalf, please forgive this devotee for all he has done and accept him as your servant, then Krishna will accept on the basis of their desire, on the basis of their devotion, we will be forgiven. You cannot approach Krishna directly. You must approach him through a dear servitor who is willing to appeal on our behalf for forgiveness and devotion. So Surabhi came down and told Krishna that Indra is very repentant. Please give him your mercy. So then Krishna accepted Indra's prayers. Indra placed the crown of the King of Heaven on Krishna's lotus feet. And then with Airavata, who brought water from the Ganges, the celestial Ganges, Indra performed Abhishek to declare to all the world that Govinda, he is the real king of heaven. He is the king of everyone and every place. And then Surabhi, she said, you are our Indra. We only worship you. And Surabhi, with unlimited milk from her udder, she offered Krishna Abhishek. And that place where the Abhishek of Krishna, where he was coronated the king, is called Govindakund. And in this way, Krishna curbed the pride of Indra, and in the process, taught us that even if we are devotees, we should never ever take credit for anything we do. And if people speak nicely about us, we should never be infatuated by that. We should never be envious of others. Because if we are, Krishna will somehow or other smash that false ego, either in this lifetime or in another lifetime. Either we become humble by our own sweet will, or we will be smashed by Krishna's sweet will, until there's just nothing left to be proud of. There's nothing left. And then we can actually chant the holy names with great feeling. Uddhava is remembering these wonderful, wonderful pastimes of Sri Krishna. And by remembering them, he is actually participating in Krishna's Leela. It is a fact. What was available 5,000 years ago to the associates of Lord Sri Krishna is available to each and every one of us on this very day. By attentively hearing these pastimes, we are a participant within these pastimes. To the degree we are eager to hear, to the degree we hear in a mood of the servant of the servant of the servant, we could actually experience the ecstasy of Krishna by hearing his pastimes and chanting his holy name. In this way, Uddhava was experiencing the ecstasy of Krishna's personal association through chanting his glories. Thank you very much. Shri Radha Giridhari Ki. I am very fortunate that in this holy temple of Shri Shri Radha Giridhari, the Bhagavatam verse is all about Giridhari. At this time, we would like to ask Chananivas Prabhu to kindly speak some words of transcendental wisdom for us. Chananivas Prabhu is a resident of Navadvip, and according to our Shastra, Navadvip and Vrindavan are the same place. Narottam Das Thakur explains, the Brijabasis and Navadvipvasis, there is no difference. That the residents of Navadvipa are non-different than the residents of Vrindavan. The only difference between Vrindavan and Navadvipa, they are both Madhurya Dham. They are both the abodes of the highest, sweetest relationships of love. Radha and Krishna are the supreme object of everyone's love and service in Vrindavan. And Radha Krishna, in the most munificent form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the object of everyone's love and service in Navadvip. Therefore, there is no difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan. But the Acharyas explain, although they are identical, no difference, there is one difference. Vrindavan is a very secret, confidential place of Krishna's Leela. And in Navadvip, Radha Krishna, in the form of Gauranga, freely distribute entrance into the holy abode to everyone and anyone, not considering what their qualification. So if you add magnanimity and leniency of transcendental mercy to Vrindavan, you have Navadvip Dham. So today we have such a resident of Navadvip Dham who has come to Bombay to freely distribute entrance into the holy abode through his divine association. Jananivas Prabhu ki.
Jai.